Proverbs chapter 19. Begin reading in verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we thank you this morning for the cross. Lord, we thank you for what that represents to so many of us this morning, at the foot of which all of our sins rolled away by putting our faith and trust in the supreme sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to reflect on the principles of Christian education. God, I pray that you would challenge our thinking, both of parents, prospective parents, grandparents, and students alike, that we would realize how absolutely essential it is that we have a rock-solid foundation that is based not on errant instruction, but is based on instruction that comes from the Word of God. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today is the day that Dad established a couple of decades ago as an opportunity for us as a church family to reflect upon Christian education. Over the years, it is a blessing to see how many families have made the economic sacrifices necessary in order to provide a Christian education for their children. It is equally a blessing to hear of those who have been helped in their education by the generosity of a family member or even another church member. But one danger exists in this area, and it is indicative of the religious tone in our world today. With a pluralistic worldview, our children are being taught that absolutes no longer exist. And with that false teaching comes the idea that everyone is right in his own eyes. It's contrary to what the scriptures teach us in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Solomon continues in Proverbs 3 and in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And yet, as we think of those who would seem to believe that we can be right in our own eyes, the Bible, of course, teaches us that we are not to do what is right in our eyes, but what is right in God's eyes. And furthermore, there is instruction that is good for the soul, and there is equally instruction that can lead the soul astray. Realize this morning when we talk about this matter of Christian education that it can be one that causes great division, although I would submit to you this morning it is completely unnecessary. Because if our desire as children of God is to truly be salt and light in this world and is to have the absolute greatest impact possible upon our current generation and the generation that is to come, then I think you and I must come to the conclusion that everything that we do in life, regardless of whether we pursue a secular career or whether we spend the rest of our lives involved in Christian ministry, must have the same basis for every decision. And that has to be the Word of God. And that's why it's a wonderful joy when we think about the instruction that, yes, we can find what God desires for us right here in this book. But yet, each one of us has to make our own decision. We have to decide whether or not we are desirous of training up God-fearing servants of the Lord, whether we are desirous of following the Scripture's instruction to us as the Lord continues to teach and to guide and to direct us, or whether we would be satisfied with status quo, thinking very foolishly that what was fine 10, 20, or 30 years ago is equally fine today. Yet we see here that there is a strong caution against errant instruction. You know, when you think of cautions in this world, it's very easy for people to have their own interpretation. You may see a yellow blinking light and say, well, we'll slow down a little bit and we'll see what's going to happen here at this intersection. You may be going down a certain path and you may see a barricade that is set up in the road, as frequently is the case here on Burke Lake Road when we have an abundance of rain. And it's always interesting to see those who think they can get around the barricade and go on and they don't need to really pay it that much attention. You think in terms of intersections, and I'm amazed at how many people have forgotten what we are supposed to do when the traffic lights are totally out. Of course, they teach you in driver's ed, if the traffic light is there, the fixture is there, and it is not blinking, and it is not on, it is out for one reason or another, you are to treat it as a stop sign and come to a complete stop. And yet, how infrequently do we see that happen? I've pulled up to an intersection on more than one occasion and come to a complete stop only to have people going flying past me at the speed limit that is there indicated. And you know, I can't help but wonder how many are treating Christian education in the same fashion. For the Bible tells us that we are to cease from hearing instruction that would cause us to err from the words of knowledge. It does not say that we are to continue and to tread lightly. It does not say that we are to continue and to have an open mind. It does not say that we are to follow down that same path and just pray that we don't fall into any grave dangers. No, it says we are to cease. That is, we are to halt. And yet, a lot of times, I am very much aware of the fact of those that have not been confronted with this truth. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine this week, who humbly confessed that in his years of ministry, he has never preached on Christian education. And so I am very much aware of the fact this morning that there are plenty of folks who have not given thought to the matter, not out of a deliberate rebellion against God, but simply because it has never been taught or preached to them. And so my desire this morning is not to stir up your anger. It's not to have you leaving here ready to spit nails, but it is to have you leaving here this morning with what I trust will be not this preacher's opinion, but rather the Word of God on what is an absolutely critical matter of the training of the next generation. James tells it to us like this in James 4 and in verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He does not say to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is unfortunate. He does not say that to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a shame, which would still, in our current terminology, be something of a negative value. But he says specifically it is a sin. You know, you think back to the time when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that very first day, you were very excited at what God had done for you. And yet you did not fully understand and were not able to appreciate at that moment in time everything that the Holy Spirit would teach to you over the years as you began to study the Word of God and to dig down deeply into it and to begin to assess all that God would teach you so that we can go through that process that we preached about last week of seeking to be sanctified, of seeking to be set apart from the world, not drawing closer to the world, but rather drawing closer to God, realizing that in proportionate fashion to our drawing nigh to God, so too will He draw nigh to us. So we think about here the caution against errant instruction. To those who would say that it is good to be exposed to the world's instruction, and I've heard plenty of people say that over the years, so that a child can combat it. I remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul that totally contradict that statement. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Keep your finger here in Proverbs, as we will return. In Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and in verse 17, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and associate with them." No. And what? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and well learned concerning evil. No. What is the word that he uses there concerning evil? Simple. So perhaps, mom or dad, you have not taken into consideration that it was the Holy Spirit himself who teaches us in God's holy word that no, we are not to know everything about all of the attacks of the devil. We are not to know everything about the world so that we can therefore avoid it. But to the contrary, we are to be simple concerning evil and wise unto that which is good. So what we should be spending our time doing is not knowing more and more about the world and its philosophy and its system of values, but more and more about the Lord and God's instruction, so that you and I can walk in the fear of the Lord and truly be all that God wants us to be. What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. You see, we tend to think of it as harmless. It's just school. It's just education. They are still seeking to be a Christian. They're still seeking to follow the right path. And yet, if my child is continuing to learn, well, the world has this to offer and the world has this to offer, and you need to broaden your horizons over here, it is impossible for them to remain simple concerning evil. It is interesting the day and age in which we live, how the world's philosophy continues to pervade our educational system. That's why it was just this last fall that a New Hampshire court sent a 10-year-old professing Christian to public school against her mother's will. Amanda Karowski's parents are divorced. Her mother, with whom she lives most of the time, is a Christian and was homeschooling her. Her father, whom she sees on regularly scheduled visits, is not a Christian and objected to this homeschooling. And per prior agreement, a mediator, a New Hampshire court, was called in to settle their schooling dispute. A counselor who was sent in to evaluate Amanda found her to lack some youthful characteristics. Namely, quote, she appeared to reflect her mother's rigidity on questions of faith. Amanda even attempted to witness to the counselor, who ultimately concluded, quote, that Amanda's interests would be best served by exposure to a public school setting in which she would be challenged to solve problems presented by the social interactivity of children her age. The counselor further recommended that Amanda be exposed to, quote, different points of view at a time in her life when she must begin to critically evaluate multiple systems of belief and behavior. So we think about, does the world know what they're doing? Absolutely they do. Do they have an agenda? It is a blatant agenda, and it is against everything that you and I seek to stand for as you and I seek to base our lives on the instruction of the Lord. But again, we say, well, it doesn't really matter. Do you want your child at the age of 10 being capable of witnessing to the unsaved? I hope so. What a thrill it is to know that that little girl, who obviously I've never met, was able to present enough of the gospel message to that counselor that that counselor perceived that somehow she was trying to proselytize her. But I'm telling you today, it is a very strong caution It is given to us by God Almighty regarding instruction that would cause any of us to err from the words of knowledge. There is a cause of inerrant instruction, and that is because it is predicated on a worldview that does not include God as its center. Are you aware that Fairfax County states on their own website, and I checked it again yesterday, students are taught that a small percent of humans are homosexual, that scientists differ as to the cause of homosexuality, and that all persons deserve to be treated with respect regardless of their sexual orientation. Here is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now I ask you, does God create people with a perverse lifestyle? No, he does not. He has never done that, and he never will. But our society is trying to tell us that sin is okay. And unfortunately, too many Christian parents are biting into that philosophy and saying, well, it is okay if my child is in that environment. When we think about this matter of Christian education, it ought to be your desire above all else that your children receive a biblical worldview. You see, when we think about, well, you can't avoid the world, I would say that's absolutely right. I live with unsaved neighbors on either side of me. You go to the store and 9 times out of 10, you have an unsaved clerk who is serving you. Most of you, if you work in a secular job, more than likely have unsaved co-workers, perhaps an unsaved boss. But there is an underlying principle here that we must not forget. He tells us here that we are to cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. You see, I can't control always the conversation that goes on around me. But I can control the instruction that I receive. I can control what is being taught to me. And I can control and choose of my own will the instruction that my children will receive. It's hearing the instruction, not just the fact that you are hearing what the world says. Proverbs 30 and verse 12 tells us there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. See, our children are not capable of exercising the same level of discernment as a child that you exercise as an adult. And that's why it is the parents' responsibility, as laid out for us in Ephesians chapter 6, to act on their behalf, as has already been alluded to this morning in our testimonies, of seeking to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. So when we think about this cause of errant instruction, it comes from a faulty foundation. But there is a cure for errant instruction, and that is that we can learn these words of knowledge. If you'd look back with me here in the same chapter, in Proverbs chapter 19. What is the instruction that would give us the words of knowledge? The Bible says in verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So there is some instruction that is out there that it is of a positive spiritual value. There are many devices, verse 21, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You see, we have to determine where the words of knowledge come from, and they come from what God teaches in his word. What I share with my children, regarding the Bible, regarding the Old Testament, regarding the New Testament, regarding the history of Israel, the creation of man, and following through all the way to the plan of our Savior to come and give His life on the cross. It's a joy to see young people here at Fairfax Baptist Temple Academy who are learning godly principles, even in the area of finance. As Brother Stewart made reference to the Financial Peace University, the Christian financial principles that are being taught on Saturday mornings. Last year, I heard that they also offered a curriculum for young people. And we got that last year, and we now teach that here in our high school so that these young people can realize that the matter of proper financial principles, while some may look at as a purely secular concept, should have biblical roots found in stewardship. Learning that we are to give an account of the way in which we have used the resources that God has given to us. And being taught these wonderful biblical principles. But you know, I'm also supposed to make sure that I am teaching my children based on my own personal observations. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I think a lot of times when we think of parents' responsibility regarding teaching our children, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And there certainly are great principles there. But this morning, I'd like for us to make a different note here as found in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 9, the Bible says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." What is it that we are to teach them in this specific verse, in this specific context? We are to teach them based on what we have observed. Now, it is my responsibility as a parent to teach my children the Word of God and equally to teach them lessons that God has taught me. Now, if we take that and we transfer that over to an educational system, is it not reasonable to think that a teacher is not only going to impart the material that is found in a textbook, but that furthermore, they are going to impart with their students what they have seen? And so if my child is being taught by an unsaved teacher, is it not thereby reasonable to think that they will also be imparting to them values that may be found foreign to the Word of God based on their personal observations? It is our deliberate desire to teach every student in our academy the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." But how is it that these subjects are tied in biblically? You know, when we think about being taught the words of knowledge and being taught in a setting and an environment that is conducive to Christian growth, it's a shame that when we think about public schools, that they are not concerned in any sense about teaching them a concept of God. And yet it has not always been that way. You see, prior to the 1960s, as someone has pointed out, public schools and teachers clearly accepted their role in defining the culture of the youngsters under their supervision and used a McGuffey reader-style curriculum. The American Citizen's Handbook, published for teachers by the National Education Association in 1951, proclaimed, "It is important that people who are to live and work together shall have a common mind, a like heritage of purpose, religious ideals, love of country, beauty, and wisdom to guide and inspire them." And that message, as is pointed out by one commentator, was fortified by selections suitable for memorization, such as Old and New Testament passages, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Golden Rule, the Boy Scout Oath, and patriotic songs. Then we think of the turning point back in the 1960s, the influence of the humanist John Dewey, and teaching through his values that he wrote down, that it is important to teach students to clarify their values and to cast off their parents' values, learning how to make their own choices based on their own situational ethics. And then, of course, we realize that the curriculum has since then suffered an extreme dumbing down process, whereby students now graduate without learning to read or calculate. U.S. history courses now inculcate the doctrine of U.S. guilt and multiculturalism instead of the greatness of our heroes and successes, as was pointed out by Phyllis Schlafly. If you think about how subjects are tied in biblically, we do teach that evolution is wrong, that God created this world in 6 literal days, as found in the Genesis account of creation. You see, when we think about words of knowledge, I am not interested, I am not concerned that my children understand every aspect of evolution. Why? Because that is outside of the Word of God when it comes to the matters of science. However, I want my children to know everything there is about creation, because my Bible says that God created them. And I want them to be able to appreciate that. We think of abortion and how prevalent it is in society today. It was horrifying to read of a school up in Chicago where 1 out of every 7 students enrolled in that school in Chicago is either pregnant or has already had a baby of the girls in the population there. But you think about, does it matter? Are there consequences? Yes, there are. We think in terms of those in history who tried to wipe out our Christian roots. What a joy it is to know that this country was deliberately founded on biblical principles. But if as parents we truly believe that outside of salvation our children are the greatest gift that God can give us, how can I then willingly subject them to influences that could sow seeds of doubt, or that would expose them to the world in such a fashion that they would not be holy and pure before the Lord? That they would not be a consistent follower of Jesus Christ? Yes. There can be, and there are some Christian teachers in the public school system. But it is foolish to think that the positive influence of an extreme minority of Christians can totally combat the influence of the unsaved. And it is equally foolish to think that the influence of the unsaved will have no impact on them. Mike Adams is a professor at the University of North Carolina in Wilmington. He had been an atheist and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And his own words, as a tenured professor at the University of North Carolina in Wilmington, he says that state universities can be dangerous places for young, impressionable students. It is chic and it is hip, quote, he says, to rebel against your parents. When you're presented with these radical ideas and you parrot them back to your professors, you immediately receive positive reinforcement. They shun you if you adhere to those traditional values and shower you with love and attention and approval if you do otherwise. Most students come back because for a lot of them, it's just a temporary experiment in rebellion. Again, we think of our children, a blessing from the Lord, an heritage of the Lord. And as was implied to us this morning, I don't know how many of you caught on to it, but as Brother McDonald was referring to his son Justin and talking about choosing a school, he's talking about college. But prior to coming to our academy, his goal and his focus was on secular colleges and thought it wouldn't matter. But being under the influence in a Christian education realized the value of going to a Christian college so that he could still have that foundation solidified that much more on the biblical principles were taught to him at an earlier age. And what a joy it is to know that yes, we can have an option for our children today. Harry Ironside, the great theologian of last century, wrote, "It is an evidence of youthful pride for one to suppose that he can listen to all kinds of theories, good and evil, but be defiled by none. Spiritual eclecticism may seem to savor of breadth of mind and liberality, but it generally ends in making shipwreck of the faith. You can only recognize and avoid error when the truth of God is known and delighted in." So how should we be always abounding in the area of education? We should be abounding for the Lord in the matter of education by doing everything in our power to provide for our children a Christian education. That's why we have always said, and I do not change today, some 30 years after our school has been founded, that in the history of our academy, there has never been one family who was turned away from our academy that was not willing to work with us, for whom finances were an insurmountable odd. Not one single time. Now, sure, there have been those who have said, "Well, I don't know if I want to make some changes here and don't know if I want to make some adjustments here." But when it comes to seeking to provide a Christian education, just as much as it was Dad's passion for 35 years, it is equally my passion today for my children and for yours as well. We want to give you that option for your children. We are concerned about their future. We do have a vested interest in their upbringing, and it is our desire as a church to do everything in our power to give them instruction from the words of knowledge. And let me close by saying that I trust none of us desires for his children to err from the words of knowledge. But I want to remind you, the Bible says that it can happen. And if you really want your child to be the best servant of the Lord that he or she can be, you must be aware of the caution from the Lord and the cause of this errant instruction. But there is a cure, and praise the Lord, that cure is found in God-fearing men and women who openly profess to know Christ as Savior and openly do all that they can to teach and train boys and girls in a Christian environment with Christian textbooks how their young people can stay the course until Jesus Christ returns. You see, that path that is there, very easily we could say, "Well, you know, if I make a change now, it's not going to have any impact in the future." And you may not see a deviation in the immediate beginning, but I guarantee you, you're only asking for problems in the future by weakening what could be a stronger foundation on the Word of God. We all have seen the horrible tragedies that have occurred in Haiti just a couple of weeks ago. And it was equally saddening to hear the individual say, as I saw an interview this week of one lady who was pointing out the destruction to her house, appeared to be a lady of means. And she was saying, "You know, we really don't have any building codes here. Everybody kind of does it their own way. And there are a few codes, though. But you can always get around those codes by paying off an inspector. And you can still do it your own way." And you know, for decades, those houses have stood. But ultimately, and tragically, because they did not have a good foundation. While for decades they may have looked really pretty, while for decades they may have served a purpose, when the real test came, they crumbled to the ground. You may, for a while, be able to say it has no harm, no negative factors whatsoever on my children. And they may last for a long while, but their foundation will never be all that God wanted it to be had they learned to put the principles of the words of knowledge in their heart and in their life.